Let's take up our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus as we continue our study, not only through this book, but now through the tabernacle and through the furnishings for that tabernacle together as we see laid before us yet again the picture of the relationship that the Lord has with his people, that which we as that dwelling place for God by the Spirit enjoy in him through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we come then to the table for the showbread as he prepares for us a table. And so as we hear that, the preparations too that we bring in offering to that table, the wonder of God's providing for us his presence and his blessing. So let's hear these words together. Exodus 25, we'll begin our reading in verse 23, taking for our text this morning verses 23 through 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make a rim around it, 1 hand breadth wide, and a molding of gold around the rim. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold and fasten the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs. Close to the frame the rings shall lie, as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's ask for his blessing and in a moment of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Fathers, we come into your presence to speak then of that table before your presence. Lord, we are thankful for your presence here, that where 2 or more are gathered in your name, there you are. And so, Father, as we humble ourselves before your word, we ask your blessing in it. That, Father, you would open our ears to receive it, that you would open our hearts to believe it, that you would ready our hands and feet to act upon it. And, Father, to rejoice in the table that you set before us. And so, Lord, hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where would we put a table? It's a question Lisa and I found ourselves asking at various points in our married life when looking at an apartment to rent or a house to buy. And it's amazing how many places like that you can come into and you have to ask that question. Where does the table go? And it would seem to us, at least, to be a rather obvious thing. If you're going to eat in your house, you need a place for the table. But increasingly in our country, there is no place for a table. Families rarely eat together. And if they do, they find themselves maybe on tables in front of the television. But a table in a house, it speaks to something profound. It speaks of the value of table fellowship. It speaks to the value of community. That a home where meals are not shared, it seems empty. It seems sterile even, maybe even not lived in. In fact, the joy of a home is often the joy of gathering around the table. Think a couple of weeks ago as we gathered together in joy around the table of our Lord, of that communion in Christ, that communion in his life, that communion in his death. We gather remembering in communion with the Father through our communion in the Son, that Jesus Christ has brought us joy and peace, and we remind ourselves of these things. Take, eat, remember, and believe. That we enjoy that blessing together and are built up in it. And so it's at the table that we are reminded that the Father and the Son dwell with us, even as the Holy Spirit dwells and abides in each of God's people. So that as we look back at the tabernacle this morning, to the place that God would dwell and abide in the midst of his people, what we see is his desire then for a home. That God makes his home among us. That he makes his dwelling among us. And as we know now, in us. And so this God who prepares a table before us, as we rejoice in the words of Psalm 23, is also then asking his people through Moses to prepare a table for him. That they would be mindful always of God's presence. He lives among us. Don't forget it. And that we would take joy in our worship and fellowship together as he does. And so we look at this word under this theme this morning. The Lord commands his people to prepare a table before him in his dwelling, and yet it's his table. And he prepares for it, and that's the first point this morning. He prepares his table, as we see in verses 23 through 28, and then he promises his presence in verses 29 and 30. He prepares his table, and he promises his presence. Because if you think about it in that way, he prepares his table, even as he calls his people to prepare that table. Of course, the Lord would ask for that. Make me a tent. Make me a place that I dwell. And so again, a home without furnishings is weird. And so here now, that home that he makes among his people was not to be some sparsely decorated and outfitted college dorm room. No, it's his place of dwelling among his people. And so because this was no ordinary dwelling, it couldn't be an ordinary table either. Nor could it just be a showpiece. This wasn't just a show. No, this was functional. It was to be used. The table was to communicate then extraordinary things. But again, not ones that we always think about. Because I want you to remember as we look at all of the articles within the tabernacle, this. It communicates something of the relationship of God to his people. And you say, well, haven't we already hit on that? We've already talked about the Ark of the Covenant. We've talked about the most holy place. And certainly that relationship and its most powerful need is communicated there, in the Holy of Holies, at the Ark of the Covenant, at the mercy seat. But our life in God doesn't just stop at salvation, right? We don't stop just in talking about justification and being made right with God. No, we talk about living with him. So that sacrifice, that atonement makes that way of life possible. But now we live it. And so there would be no part of day or night from sacredness that would be free. The Lord would indeed abide and dwell with his people. He promised to do so forever. So life would be lived before him. Week by week, before the Lord and the service that would come before him, in the holy place. So right now, kids, as we think about the shape of the tabernacle, and maybe in some of your Bibles you have pictures of where things were arranged, we've come out of that most holy place and now into the holy place. And so as we remember that space, as we remember that geography, as it were, we know the priests were the only ones able to go there. And yet they would go as representatives of the people. But that dwelling is not less real. The Lord is dwelling with his people right there and does so in table fellowship. This is where we come together. And so what does the Lord speak to his people concerning our relationship? The first is this. He prepares his table with permanence. He prepares his table with permanence. Look with me at verse 23. You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. And so as we read these words, the Bible scholars that we are, we start to hear, well, isn't this a little bit familiar? Because that sounds a lot like the ark that's already been made. And certainly you'd be right. The table is the same height as the ark, but a little shorter and a little narrower. In fact, in the book of Numbers, we see just as much care given for the protection of the table as we do for the ark. And so it would serve a holy function in the service of his tent. For while God's people once a year would have fellowship with the Lord before his ark, the Lord is providing something different in this relationship. I provide this once for you, once a year, because I give you a once-for-all atoning sacrifice. But that sacrifice will have implication for your week-by-week and day-by-day living. And so here the Lord is providing in his relationship with his people a space and place. He's giving them a place to fellowship with him. And again, it happens at a table that he spares no expense for. Some of you like to watch HGTV or whatever, a home improvement shows, and you start to see the budget, especially for a dining room, and you see that it's taken up typically by the table. that people will spend tons of renovation money because that's the most important space. In many ways, the Lord then does something in similar fashion. And he does so because of the permanence of that relationship. Here is how it will be established. Build this out of wood that isn't as susceptible to rotting as any other. Take that then and overlay it with gold and strengthen it and make it more precious. Make a molding that will be beautiful and functional in supporting that construction. And you say, why does it matter? Why does that craftsmanship matter? Why does that preciousness matter? Because they would spend a lot of time around that table. And for those of you older among us who are still in the same house, and you had that table maybe when your kids were growing up, and you see the marks from the games that were there, and maybe scribble marks and scratches and dents, right? There's a lasting quality to that space. There's memory built up there. Here is the place that the Lord will dwell and make memory with his people. And in fact, God's people will continually be invited back to the table, to his presence, because of the permanence of his love and care for them. And that's because, second, he prepares this table with purpose. He prepares it with permanence, but he also prepares it with purpose. Verse 25, and you shall make a rim around it a handbreadth wide and a molding of gold around the rim. So in some ways, it's a little bit of a weird table, right? You'd have a hard time. It was kind of like the top of this pulpit, and now here is this rim around it. And why would that happen? Well, he's preparing a table that speaks of his care, again, of his relationship. Yes, it's a table that's beautiful, but the purpose was for the sharing of a meal and for being able to hold on that surface the sacrifice that was brought, the food for the feast. And so the purpose of the table not only represents the Lord's real abiding presence, but the fact that the people's food offering would constantly be before him. It wouldn't fall off, it wouldn't slide off, it wouldn't be neglected. No, for this bread was important. In fact, it's called the bread before his face. It's the bread of his presence. And so that bread would be set there each Sabbath, even as the bread from the week prior was to be eaten then by the priests in the holy place. And so he cares for that bread even through the week. It will not fall off. The sacrifices of my people will not fall away. That bread will always be there. And so the Lord, in knowing that his dwelling is a tent, provides in that relationship a table fit for the purpose not only of holding onto those offerings, but keeping them to feed a priestly people. Be strengthened in my service as you serve before me in holiness. And third, he prepares that table then with portability. Verse 26, and you shall make for it four rings of gold and fasten the rings. Verse 27, close to the frame the rings shall lie, holders for the poles. And then in verse 28, the poles of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and the table will be carried with these. And again, children, you may wonder, why is this important? Why are these kind of details in the scriptures, and what do they tell us about God? Well, consider this. Why does it matter that the Lord's table is portable? I mean, unless we have TV trays in our house or a card table, our tables really aren't that portable. But why this one in this way? Well, consider or remember back a couple of weeks ago to what we said about the ark. The ark would go where the people would go. And so the truth of his law and gospel would always travel with the people. You will always know my holy requirement, and you will always know the mercy that covers it. So too would the Lord's presence and provision go with them in the table he has prepared. You will not be without bread. Bring it as an offering, but I will provide for you. And so he would continually provide for them and would continually receive them into his holy place. And so no matter where they were found in the wilderness, no matter where they would go, he would continue to call them to the table. And that's the wonder of the reality then for us in Jesus Christ. That the Lord calls us, certainly when we come in communion to a table, but he calls us to him in table fellowship always in Jesus Christ, because he's the one pointed to in this table. Because we come to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who has set a table before us, one that he has prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. That enemy was sin. And so it's not there in the holy place. Because Christ has taken that upon himself, that sacrifice has been made. And so now as we come into the holy place, here now is that fellowship with the Lord actively, weekly, day by day. And as we come before the Father through the blood of Christ, he has set that table before us. A table of blessing even that we long to in the new heavens and new earth, that wedding supper of the Lamb. He sets the table. He prepares the place. And so as he establishes his residence in us in his Spirit, he sets for us that table. And that's how we need to consider it. That kids, when you are called, come for supper, right? You are called out and you come and you sit at that table and you have a place there and we fellowship and we enjoy that. That's what God does for us in this table because it's what he's done for us in our great table setter, Jesus Christ. It's utterly amazing that in Christ we are brought into a permanent relationship with the Father. We are granted a relationship with purpose to live before his presence in holiness and fellowship in all things for all of our days. And no matter where we go, that relationship comes with us. It's not just limited to a space or place. No, he dwells in us. And so as we go out into the world proclaiming the good news of salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ, we also go saying, here's the good news of life in Jesus Christ, a life lived in his dwelling, a life lived with a place at his table through the blood of our Savior. That's what we need to believe. But we also need to rejoice in it. Rejoicing in the table we feast at in his supper and marveling again in the promise of that presence. Because that's still the main point. I will live with you. I will dwell with you. I will dwell in the very center of your camp. That the Lord would always remain in the sight of his people. Sometimes that's our struggle, maybe. Sometimes we'd like that. In fact, the church, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, used to serve that place, right? It was in the middle of town. You woke up and you saw the church. It's not that way unless you're the Jacobsons. That's what you see, but not everybody has that. And so for us today, that reminder is still precious. But you couldn't see everything in the tabernacle. You couldn't see the most holy place. In fact, unless you were priests, you wouldn't see the holy place either. But the realities of his fellowship with his people took place in symbol, which the people were then to know and to remember and to live out in their thanks and obedience. And again, think about that in terms of the main point of the interaction in the most holy place. Again, the law and the righteousness of Christ there. The promise of grace and fellowship, the mercy seat. There is the blood of the atonement required to be saved and justified. And what a blessed atonement that is. But as one moves out of the most holy place into the holy place, we see a move from justification now to what? To sanctification. Of living before the presence of the Lord. A life of sanctification, of being made more like him. And the Lord explains this even in the understanding of this table. As I live with you in table fellowship, I will commune with you. And it's not the first time. So children, as we read this and say, well, when does God eat with his people? The angel of the Lord consumed that which Abram and Sarah brought before him. Even already here in the book of Exodus, Moses and the elders have enjoyed the peace offering, that fellowship offering with the Lord. And so as he eats with his people, not only is he to be praised in the massive work of salvation, but also in that simple bit of communion. I draw near to you. And so even in the holy place, as we'll look at moving forward, the rest of the furnishings in that room, you see the prayers of the saints in the altar of incense. You see the wonder of the light in which the people were to go out in terms of the lampstand. But it begins with the table. The most essential people thing that my people must do each day, namely eating, there I will be with them. and they will offer their lives to me in holiness. And so the table he prepares is a promise to his people. Because again, this isn't some like dollhouse or just some house that has stuff in it, like a staged house. It's not that. This is his space and place. He promises in his presence, or he promises his presence in living and dwelling. But how does a table make a promise? Think back to the beginning of the sermon of how odd it is to come into a house where there's no dining room table. Again, what comes to your mind? Does anybody live here? Does anybody live here? Again, a house is lived in when the table is the center of the home. So the Lord promises not only to be among his people, but to actually dwell in that space. And he would command the servants to their service in his home. And so the table settings for such service testify to his living and dwelling in the tabernacle among his people. Verse 29, and you shall make its plates and dishes, or maybe better, platters for incense, and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold. Again, you come to the dinner table, and where are the plates? Where are the dishes? The Lord says, here they are. You'll make them for me. And the Lord has no need of food or dishes, but the service required of him did. And so they would remain in the holy place because they were holy. They were signs of his ongoing dwelling and presence. He would live there, and their living together would be holy because he promises his presence in worship and fellowship, in living and dwelling, and in worship and in fellowship. Because the Lord is ultimately present to be worshiped. When we claim that for ourselves, the Lord is present among us, we have the opportunity to worship. And so that he could care for the priests and his people in fellowship, he sets a table. Verse 30, and you shall set the bread of presence on the table before me regularly. Listen to that word again, regularly. This isn't a table that would never or seldom be used. No, it will always be used. That the word here translated regularly has the better sense of continually. You will always be eating with me. You will always have fellowship with me. You will draw near in my Sabbaths, and I will always feed you. Hear what the Lord says about this bread before his face in Leviticus 24. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf. And you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offering, a perpetual, a continual due. So again, this bread of the presence, literally bread before his face, show bread in some of your Bibles, was a gift from man to God. He called them to his baking and arranging task as an act of worship. And so the people, by way of Aaron and his sons, presented their offerings themselves, really, in 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes, a presence then that was always before the Lord. You will always be holy before me. What a gift and blessing. They were called now to live their lives together in thankfulness and gratitude for the Lord's grace in living with them. That here, congregation, as we come before the Lord, we lay our lives, living sacrifices, our reasonable act of worship. We bring those to the table. And the Lord says, I have no need of them because I give you my grace. I feed you. And so we have a better table. And so as that table served as a place for their offering, those offerings were given back to them by God in blessing. That he not only draws near to you, but says, priest, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you what you need in order to serve me. That us, priesthood of all believers, given food and nourishment by God, that we may go forth and serve him. That really, that's his giving nearness, says Motir in his commentary, and that's a beautiful thing. And that's where we need to focus our attention in the last place today. Because he prepares a table before us that we might worship, that we might fellowship. That in Christ, that table is his offering in which we find everlasting and blessed life. And so as much as Aaron and his sons would bring Sabbath bread, the Lord instead gives it to them to strengthen them, which leads us to that table that is to come and to the bread which is provided. Because each day we ask of the Lord, what according to Christ? Give us this day our daily bread, which is more than just give us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is be with us. Commune with us. Prepare a table before us that we might live in communion with you, even in this most basic thing. And as we live before him in thanks and holiness, we know his presence that he provides for us, that we come together on the Sabbath to feast on his word, at times to come to his table and feast in broken body and poured out blood. We do it for what? Unto service and noble duty. Means of grace that we would be strengthened unto service as his priests. So that as we come this morning, we're asking for what? Give us the bread we need in your presence. And that bread is Christ, right? It's what Jesus says in John 6:35. That what is the foundation of this table? It's that bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That is the call to you today. To believe in the one who provides that table, who provides that bread. The Lord has drawn near to us in Christ and nearer in his Holy Spirit who makes that dwelling in us. So draw near to him. Draw near in full assurance of Christ's atonement. Draw near in the assurance that he dwells with you to make you holy, to strengthen you for his service. And he does that for us. And so may we come, presenting ourselves before the Lord as those who live before him in his presence, coram Deo. And may he be faithful to draw near to us, bringing us close in his giving nearness, that he would feed us at his table, prepared for us with the living bread of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we draw near to you, thanking you that you have drawn near to us. Thank you for this table where we may come. And yes, lay our offerings, but knowing, Father, that Father, you give what is best. You give it back to us. And Lord, even as we bring our offerings this morning, we bring back a small portion. And yet, Father, it is us remaining and committing ourselves day by day to living before your face. Father, make us more conscious of it in the work of our day, in the lives that we live. That, Father, we don't go to a holy place. We are that holy place. That, Father, we're not looking for bread that we need to come back and eat again, but we look for living bread that you would feed us till we want no more. Father, work in us a desire to draw near, knowing that we live in your presence and that you promise it always. Lord, thank you for setting a table before us. We rejoice in it in Jesus' name. Amen.